Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, sponsored by WebSpy. It's October 26, 2010, and this is episode 265. Today we're going to take a look at the winning images from the September 2010 MBP and WebSpy photography assignment, which was on the theme of change. WebSpy are not only kind enough to sponsor the podcast, but also put up some money to buy some great prizes for the 6-month batch of assignments that we're currently running. So please do take a moment to go to my blog at blog.martinbaileyphotography.com and click on the text link underneath the WebSpy tile to the right. That will automatically tweet the message thanks to @WebSpy for sponsoring the @martinbaileyphotography.com, and that will help to show WebSpy that you're listening. WebSpy also give us a special 10% discount for all MBP community members, so if you intend to try any of their internet monitoring, reporting and analysis products, enter the discount code MBPWSY for a 10% discount, or go to webspy.com/MBP for more information. Thanks again to WebSpy for sponsoring the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast and for putting up the money for such great prizes for the assignment. I also have another offer from our new friends over at Breathing Colour today. Breathing Colour are the company that make the canvas and laminates that I've been discussing in the last few episodes. In discussing their products with Breathing Colour, they've given us a special $20 discount for MBP listeners that you can use against any order of any size as long as it's over $20. To claim your $20, enter the voucher MBP20 when you check out at breathingcolour.com. This would also be a great way to pick up some of the trial products that Breathing Colour already make available at cost to help you to try their excellent products. Again, just enter the code MBP20 when you check out for that $20 discount on any order of $20 or more. We had some interesting voting results for the September assignment on the theme of change. Although I didn't notice until it was pointed out to me, there was a clear winner with more than double, almost triple the votes of the rest of the group. But then we had a joint second, and then obviously with joint second, that also takes up the third place, and then a fourth place, and then a joint fifth. So there's actually six winners, because the fifth, obviously, we can't round that down to the next place. So this means that after the runaway first place, the voting was very close indeed. It was a difficult assignment to vote for again, so this wasn't such a surprise. Anyway, let's take a look at the backstories from the winners in reverse order as usual. In joint fifth, we had Amanda, who turns out to be Dave Newcomb's daughter, and Amanda is just about to turn 14 years of age, so it's great to have such a young member of the community be placed in the assignment. It's not such a surprise that Amanda is so talented, though, with Dave Newcomb as a dad and Dan Newcomb as an uncle. Dan has been winning the assignments for some time now, and as Dan left for his tour around Alaska a few months ago, he grafted his twin brother Dave into the community, and Dave has quickly started to attract your votes in Dan's place. Now Amanda is on board, so we'd all better up our game before the Newcombs take over all of the votes each month. And actually, it's a good job that we now vote for the top five images and not the top three as we did until this summer, or they really could have taken all three top places. Welcome to the community though, Amanda, and I hope that you understand that I'm saying all of this in fun. It's great to have you join in, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of your great photos in the future too. Here's Amanda's backstory for Skipping Generations. I was in the car with my dad and was listening to the radio, and I was thinking, I know that song and how it's on my iPod. It inspired me to take a picture of a vinyl record and an iPod representing old changing to new. Luckily, I had my iPod with me at the time, and my dad and I went over to a second-hand store and bought a few old records. We went in the parking lot and took the pictures as the sun was going down. My dad is still teaching me photography and helped me process the image. Thanks again for all of the votes and good luck this month. I still don't know what to take a picture of. So, Amanda, I think the idea of representing old and new like this is incredibly cool. It's great that you went to the trouble to buy the old records, which makes the backstory so much more interesting. You don't even have any old records to shoot the image that you had envisioned. I don't either. I left all of my old vinyl records in the UK when I moved to Japan almost 20 years ago. And I haven't owned a record deck since. In fact, when I moved to my new house in July this year, I don't even have a CD player now. My stereo is now just accepts a Bluetooth connection from an iPhone or iPad, and I play all of my music from there, or my computer. For the few physical CDs that I buy, I use them as media to get the music home and rip it onto my computer, and never actually play the music directly from the CD. Times are certainly changing, and your photo makes me think of all of this so well. I like the way that you chose such a young artist to show on the iPod screen too. This emphasizes the old and new theme even more, and in turn represents change so accurately. I like the dust on the records too, and the fact that you can see a little bit of tarmac on the bottom left there shows us that these records are as good as thrown out to the trash too. All very nice additions to a well thought out and executed photograph. Congratulations on joint fifth place, Amanda. And thanks for telling me that you actually shared your fifth place with Brian Lotis or Brazil Nuts in the forum. So here's Brian's backstory too for his joint fifth place, Red Lines. My original idea was to use the coin theme, but after a couple of other people mentioned that idea here in the forum, I decided to try and find something different. I was struggling to come up with an idea until the weekend before the deadline. We're in the middle of a large project here at work, and I had to bring some work home over the weekend. Part of my job is to redline HVAC drawings, which means make changes to the drawings so that the drafter can then modify the CAD files on the computer. I was working that Saturday morning. I realized that I was making changes to the design and that this would fit into the assignment, so I decided to set up this still life. I have no special lighting equipment, not even a decent speed light, so I had to make do with the overhead light and the window. I arranged my pencils, ruler and paper rolls on the table next to the window and decided a coffee mug would add a nice touch. After three tries to get a shallow enough one where the coffee would actually be visible, I got what I wanted. I then tried microwaving the coffee to get some steam, but I wasn't able to capture it in the image. I'm guessing it was due to the angle of the light. Maybe next time. The only thing I did then in Lightroom was adjust the white balance, boost the reds, add a slight vignette and some sharpening. That's it, nothing fancy. One thing I learned from this is that making a conscious effort with pre-visualization and then taking time to set up the shot really helps. The two times I did that were the times that I got a few more votes from you guys. This has been a great learning experience. Well, I really like the results, Brian, as did a fair few others, obviously. It's great that you kept the assignment theme in mind as you were making changes to the drawing, and that enabled you to link these extra few things together for a winning image. I think the lighting is part of what makes this image, so please don't worry about not having any expensive gear. I have numerous speed lights, but when the window light suffices, I'll use that every time. I think because of that, this image has a real feel of someone working hard on the drawings in their study, but taking a coffee break maybe before getting back to it, or maybe even rolling up the changed drawings and feeding them back into a tube before moving on to another job, or maybe even picking up the camera and going for a walk to relax after work. I really like it when a photo starts me thinking of the circumstances surrounding the image, and yours certainly does that. So thanks for submitting this, Brian, and congratulations on joint fifth place. And sorry that I missed that you were in joint fifth place initially too, Brian. Next in fourth place is David Bailey with a beautiful image called Yesteryear. David also left a nice message before his backstory, and I'd like to read that out first as it's kind of relevant too. Seeing that this is my first time on the forum, I thought that I should say a little about myself. I'm an electrician by trade. I got into photography because I bought an iPhone and downloaded some podcasts, and one of them happened to be the MBP podcast, episode 216, Photography Fundamentals for the Beginner, Part 1. That was back in November, and the seeds were planted. In January, I bought my first DSLR. I've never had one of these or an SLR before. So I listened to many more of Martin's podcasts before attempting my first assignment in May. This was more to see how to get the photo onto the site, as May is not a good time for flowers in Victoria, Australia. It's definitely fun trying to do the assignments. As a newbie, I have no idea what I'm doing most of the time, but at least the assignments give me a focus and a challenge. I often have no clue on where or how to start the assignments, but the more I think about it and consider different ideas, the more ideas keep coming. Before I know it, the table is full of glasses, money, and for the next assignment, books, for the entire month of the assignment. I'm amazed that Brenda, my wife, puts up with it all. She just shakes her head and awaits the final photo. This is some excellent background on yourself, David, and how you got into photography. I'm thrilled that I played such a large part in your getting hooked, and really thank you for sharing this story. I also am really happy that you put so much into the assignments and that your wife Brenda puts up with it. I can certainly relate to that part, as my wife puts up with so much from me, including giving up a perfectly good job to pursue my passion full time. Anyway, welcome to the community, David, and congratulations on your win, especially after such a short time experimenting with photography. Let's move on now to hear David's backstory from Yesteryear. My first photo posted was real change. This was just a test shot, as I had just got a new flash. I didn't think it was that good, so I tried using other things like an old typewriter. I wanted something old to reflect change in that way. Puffing Billy is an old steam train in Belgrave, not too far from my place. I had a job to do up that way and decided to take my camera with me. When I'd finished work, I went straight down to where they service the trains, which is run by volunteers. As I pulled up, there were about 8 people around the train and in the shed. I was a bit nervous and embarrassed, so I took off the 70-20 and put on the lens that came with the camera. I left the tripod as well, as this made the camera look less pro. I walked up to one of the volunteers and asked if I could take some photos. I'd never done anything like that before. The gentleman was very nice and said not a problem. Thank God that was over with. I started to take photos. As a newbie, I had no idea on how to get a good shot in a small dark shed with a massive steam train taking up most of it. I tried the KISS approach, but it didn't really give the atmosphere of old. So I just took some very wide shots. When I got home, this shot stood out, so I used preset antique light and moved some of the mix of scales in Lightroom to give the appearance that it was an older photo. This was done by trial and error. No cropping or straightening was done, which I was kind of proud of. Thanks for the backstory too, David. It shows that you really thought about your photo. Not only on how to shoot it, but the logistics around not making yourself look too much like a pro, which was perhaps important to keep the volunteers relaxed. It also takes a lot of courage to ask people if you can take photographs, so well done on getting over that obstacle too. On the photograph itself, I really like the way you cropped off the front of the train and the right side of the train, which is running along the left and the bottom of the image. This may not have been a conscious decision, but many beginners would be tempted to try and include the entire train, which I think would have detracted from the image. To me, this shot is all about the power of this resting machine, letting off just a little bit of steam, as if almost breathing. With almost as much visual weight as the steam engine, though, is the man walking up alongside in the distance. He's not in focus, probably out of your depth of field at 24mm with an aperture of f4. But this also adds to the feel of the image. And then the fact that you topped it off with the antique sepia tone is just classical. I also really like the lighting, with the light from the old window to the left of the image, and then the blown out electric lights inside the shed, adding a really nice touch. Congratulations on fourth place with this incredible image, David, and I'm looking forward to seeing your future entries too. Next up in joint second place is Marcus Perkins with his image Spare Any, and here's Marcus's backstory. Once again, I found myself thinking of many different photos to get my entry for this month. My first instinct was money, and had decided that coins bouncing on a hard surface would be the way to go. I set up two Nikon flash guns and used the auto FP setting to allow unlimited sync speeds. I tried various combinations but could not get the look that I was happy with. I then moved on to money dropping into a hand and from there to the hand of a tramp. I decided that I would play the part of the tramp as rocking up to a homeless person with a handful of foreign coins and a bag full of expensive equipment was not such a good idea. I used shoe polish to blacken my hand and nails. The fingerless glove came from an old climbing sock with the end cut off. I wore an old coat and had a can of lager with me for authentic look and for medicinal purposes. The shots were taken outside the back door as I wanted a brick wall as the background. I positioned an SB800 overhead and an SB600 pointing directly into a large reflector that I was sat on. This provided the film lighting under the hand. I then shot many frames with the camera mounted on a tripod and using a remote. The focusing was tricky here as I was pre-focusing with a narrow depth of field. Even in the final shot, I would have preferred a bit more depth of field. In hindsight, I should have used Lightroom's tethered shooting here so I could review the shots on the fly. I used Lightroom to make my post adjustments with a closer crop and an increase in contrast, among other tweaks. So this is a great shot, Marcus. Thanks for taking the time to put this together and to get it posted. On first glance, this could have easily been a very predictable shot for this assignment, but you did such a good job of the execution, it really shone within the group. I think the bottom lighting is classic. It gives it a kind of surreal feel, but starts me thinking that this person might be sitting outside of a shop with light from a show window somehow coming into the scene from a low angle. The can of lager adds a very nice touch, and although it's not immediately obvious, the shoe polish to blacken the fingers and nails is also a very nice touch, as is the foreign money. These things all add an air of mystery to the shot that would have, they'd just not been there otherwise. The final tweaks in Lightroom really polished this off nicely. Congratulations on a very well-earned second place, Marcus. Great work. Also in second place with another totally cool shot is Forrest Tanaka with the image Reflections and Sublimation. And here's Forrest's backstory. I'd gotten the instructions for building a cloud chamber from a science podcast that I listened to and thought, that might make for some cool photos. So I got all the materials, including quite a bit of dry ice, and put it together and got nothing. I googled for more information and found that my instructions had missed some important aspects. Left with no way to fix everything before my dry ice sublimated away, I figured I'd just try the old dry ice in water trick and see what I could do with that. With a small chunk of dry ice in a fish tank and a small amount of water, I tried blowing on the sublimating stream and fanning it, but then I tried just tipping the fish tank very slightly and found that water running past the ice would take the stream with it to make some very beautiful patterns. A few shots later, I had my entry. The connection with the theme of change, if it's not obvious, is the changing of state from solid to gas. The lighting was from two snooted speed lights, one on the left and one on the right. Well, Forrest, this sure is a beautiful image. I'd love to hear where the blue and the violet colours came from. Gels on the speed lights, maybe? I really like the swirling motion in the steam, and like the reflection of the dry ice too. The negative space plays a big part of the success of this image too, so well done on the composition as well. Once again, this is a great example of someone going out of their way to shoot for the assignment, which is always nice to see. Congratulations on a great joint second place image, Forrest. Finally, in first place, with a ridiculously large number of votes, is another classic image from David Newcomb. Life-changing. And here's Dave's backstory. I first posted Change in Technology, showing an old and new camera. I thought this was kind of boring, so I gave the subject more thought. I figure death is one of the most dramatic changes a person can experience. My initial plan was to put a subject in the shot to personalize it. I took some pictures of myself in silhouette at night in a graveyard, almost as creepy as Mr. Nikon's shot, but they didn't turn out the way I wanted. I was hoping for fog, and on the last day of the month, the weather decided to cooperate. There was patchy fog, so I explored a graveyard near the middle of Vancouver. The sun was coming up and conditions were perfect. I set my white balance to daylight to give the morning light a warm look. I bracketed the shots with one under, one over, and one properly exposed. The fog started to disappear as the sun rose, so I had to work fast. I took around 350 shots from various angles. I uploaded one of the underexposed images taken at f6.3, 200mm for a thousandth of a second shutter speed at ISO 200. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to put the subject, me, in the picture. I processed the image in Lightroom and did some minor changes. I slightly adjusted the contrast, fill light, blacks and clarity. I didn't change the colour at all. I also added a little vignette to get the bottom right corner a little darker. I cropped the image and in hindsight, maybe I should have taken more off the sides. This really did stand out from the gallery as well, Dave. I love the mist, which is obviously, it makes the shot. And I love the fact that you can see just a little bit of detail in this side of the gravestones, although they appear almost in silhouette at first glance. The image might be a little bit stronger with a little more cropped off the left side, but it wasn't something that jumped out to me at all. It's great how the mist gets brighter towards the back of the shot too, which helps to lead the eye in, but then the contrast of the foreground pulls the eye back, helping us to sort of navigate the image and see as much as we can in there. Excellent work as usual. So thanks for getting involved again, Dave, and congratulations on a runaway first place with this spectacular image. So the September assignment was the fourth of six assignments from which the five entrants with the most accumulated votes will receive one of the five prizes that I and our sponsors WebSpy have made available. The prizes include a Sony Alpha NEX-5, NEX-5 camera, some X-Rite color management tools, and my own fine art print and a folio of your choice from my collections. I'll put a link to the prizes page in the show notes for you to check them out if you're interested. I'll also put a link to the scores page in the show notes, but note that the links to this and all previous assignments results are also on the top page at the members gallery site, which is mbp galleries.com. So thanks so much to all of you that took part in this assignment, and for those of you that took the time to vote. Some of today's backstories really helped to show how these assignments can help to improve our photography while having a lot of fun at the same time. Don't forget that $20 discount from Breathing Colour. If you were thinking of picking something up, do head over to breathingcolour.com and use the code MBP20 for a $20 discount off any order of $20 or more. Thanks for listening today, and again, thanks to WebSpire for sponsoring the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Remember that you can find me on Flickr, Facebook, as well as Twitter, and of course my blog and the photography forum. All links are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you just have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.
This is Dave Warner, and I'm the host of the LensFlare35.com podcast. Each week I bring you interviews with some of the top photographers using digital SLR cameras. They share some of their coolest tips and tricks, techniques, and news about what they're up to. So please take a moment to visit the website or subscribe to LensFlare 35 on iTunes.
The Martin Bailey Photography Podcast is a proud member of the Photocast Network. Find this and other great photography podcasts at photocastnetwork.com.